Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Oh man, we just got to settle down here, just settle our spirit a little bit, huh? And just give this time now to the Lord. Man, all morning I've been thinking that the message today is really secondary. Oftentimes the message is seen as a primary part of, like, why I go to church is to hear the message. I want the pastor to tell me something. Make me laugh. And I've just been getting the word this morning from the Lord that he's going to kind of put me in my place a little bit, I feel. And I'm a little nervous about that. What does that mean, Lord? I don't know. But I think just seeing little Everett get baptized and just receiving the body and the blood of Jesus, I just kind of heard from the Lord that you just let that happen and you just kind of get out of the way. And so I'm going to still preach, but honestly, I almost see this as coming down off the mountain maybe a little bit. So if you're trying to go up the mountain, I'm a little nervous for you this morning. Because I think we might actually be coming down the mountain. I don't know what that means. I'm making this up right now, but I don't know. I'm just sensing that's what God's doing. Let me pray for us, and then we're gonna get into the word a little bit. Heavenly Father, it's amazing how we can turn even preaching into an idol. And forgive us for where we do that. God, this is all a work of you. And where we try to make it a work of ourself, or where we try to make it a work of, you know, everything's got to flow smooth, or everything's got to look or feel a certain way, or entertain me, or say it in a way that makes sense to me. I want to get it. I don't know, God. Where we turn it into about ourselves, I just ask for forgiveness. I ask that for myself, where I've turned at times preaching into something where it's like, okay, now I'm going to bring it. Man, that's not it. God, we would hear from you right now. We want to hear what you have to say to us. And so if you want to speak some stuff to us, do that now. And I pray that you would help me to be silent where I need to be silent. Open up our hearts, open up our ears. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Where we're going to look at and camp out is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. I'm just going to read a little bit here. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. That's a tough thing there to translate. And a triumphal procession. And through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To another, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, like so many, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. We speak in Christ. Kind of the focus verse there is the aroma of Christ. What? Smell. Smell is such a powerful thing, isn't it? I mean, sight is huge. Touch is huge. What are the five senses, right? There's five of them. Hearing is huge. All these things are huge, right? Smell's a big one, though. Smell. You can smell stuff, right? Even this morning, we actually, what do we have, Carl? Remind me, what do we got? Cinnamon. Do you guys smell the cinnamon in the room? We got four different scentsy thingamajiggers pumping cinnamon into the room right now. And maybe you don't smell, because maybe you were actually here before it was starting to kind of go. But if you walked in, my guess is maybe you smelled a little bit like he smelled it. This morning for me is all about smells. I even brought my little Febreze thing over here in case I want to start spraying that. But I also am nervous that I'm going to tick some people off. But, you know, cologne, like if there's somebody who wears really heavy cologne or something and you start sitting next to them, I want you to notice that, if you're wearing deodorant or not wearing deodorant, I want you to notice that. Smell. Just think about smells this morning. Think about some of the smells that you're like, oh, when I smell that, it smells good. Or when I smell that, it smells bad. Smells. The good, the bad, the ugly. The baby as they're perched, little Everett, as he's perched up here, right? And he just smells so good. And then he just drops a dump in his pants and it's like, oh, gosh, it smells bad, right? Or the smell. I was talking, you know, to a diesel mechanic this morning. The smell of diesel, or with the smell of cookies baking. You know, like chocolate chip cookies. We know what that smells like. Or the smell of. I love the smell of fresh cut grass. Isn't that just such a good smell when you're, just cut the grass and you're just, it smells so good. Smells. All of the smells, the good smells, the smell of skunk. I mean, you know when a skunk is in your neighborhood, right? You know when something has died in your walls in your house. Or I don't know, like the smells. Do you smell it? Can you smell some of that stuff? Smell. Cinnamon this morning. We just picked cinnamon because we thought it'd maybe be a stronger scent. Smells. I don't know if you've ever had to deal with a pregnant wife. Anybody have to deal with that? I'm just kidding. Keep your hands down, you turkeys. Oh my goodness, you don't raise your hand on stuff like that. No, but you know, a pregnant wife is a tough one because I don't know about you, but Jacqueline, when she's pregnant, her smell sense goes way up. And all of a sudden, you women turn into like a hound dog kind of thing. And I'm not talking okay. But like, you can smell stuff. And it just pops. And all of a sudden, Jackie would be like, oh, do you smell that? I'm like, no, I don't even really smell that. But pregnant women, just their just sense of smell, I feel, goes way up. Okay, all of this. Verse 15 there. The aroma, the smell of Jesus. For we are the aroma of Christ to God. The aroma of Christ. Here's my question. What does Jesus smell like? What does Jesus smell like? Now, of course, this is a bit of just kind of a, an example of a deeper thing here. So you're going to have to kind of get past some of the object lesson feel to it or smell lesson. But what does Jesus smell like? What's this text trying to teach us? He's the aroma of Christ, or the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So really I wanted to look at two things. What does Jesus smell like, and what does it look like to spread the smell? Some of the kids in here, come on, you got to be having fun with this a little bit in your mind. You got to be, a little bit. What does it look like to get the stink going, you know, to spread the smell? Okay, what does Jesus smell like? Look at verse 16. To one, it's a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. The smell. I was asking around for a Catholic thurible. You know what I'm talking about? Like the priests sometimes walk in. I was trying to find one, and I just couldn't suck it up to buy one. But I really wanted to do that this morning. Because when a priest comes walking in, and like the Catholic Church, sometimes they got that baby swinging, right? And some of you grew up with that. And just instantly, if you've been to like a funeral or something, maybe at a Catholic church, like that smell just fills the whole place. And it doesn't go away. It's really smelly. And I kind of want to create some of that feel to it with even some of our cinnamon this morning. And that smell of what is that smell of? See, smells are all over in the Bible. There's lots of different smells that become kind of important. One of them is around the sacrificial system, where in the Old Testament they would actually sacrifice animals, and this animals being burned on the altar, being sacrificed. And the prayers of the saints going up to God as a kind of smell, and he would smell it, and it would smell good. Well, my question, though, is like, does that actually smell good? If we took a bull and put it up here on the altar and started burning it, would we put a good smell with that? Probably not. We'd be like, man, the smell of burning flesh, that doesn't smell good. And as I started just processing this and thinking about this a little bit more this week, I was like, who does Jesus smell like? What does he smell like? Does it smell good? Does it smell bad? For some, death to death. To the other, life to life. What does Jesus smell like? You know, did you notice there, verse 14, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. What's being talked about there is one of these Roman general processions. And what they would do as they've conquered another nation, they would actually take the people they've taken captive and start moving towards the city of triumph, or the city that sent the general out. Maybe it was Rome or some other big city in the Roman Empire. And they would bring the captives into the city where they'd be heading towards their death. And behind them, there was a big procession of those who are captured. There'd be the general, his family, his soldiers, and there'd be some priests who are waving some of these thuribles and being able to like get the scent out, and they'd be having incense in there. And so this triumphal procession has a bunch of smells associated with it. Soldiers who are sweating, the captives who have been beaten, maybe there's blood flowing. Okay, all this kind of stuff, and there's smells, and he's saying, okay, Christ leads us in this triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere, these smells. And then as I thought about the Old Testament sacrificial system and how some of that would actually probably have smelled bad, but to God was smelling good. And then I look at Jesus as he's hanging on a cross, and I ask myself, what would that have smelled like? What would Golgotha, what would that have smelled like where Jesus was crucified? It would have been the smell of death. It would have been the smell of death. You'd have smelled sweat and blood. I mean, Jesus wasn't the only one crucified there. They'd have had other crucifixions, maybe some other guys still hanging there. Rotting flesh, possibly. Bodies laying around. I don't know exactly what it looked like. Blood all over the place. Urine, feces. I mean, go look it up. You can just go Google, how did crucifixions take place? Roman crucifixions. Go check it out. This doesn't smell like a rose. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Check this out. Oh my goodness, Philippians. Ephesians 5, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. What does that smell like? The smell of death. Smell of Jesus hanging on a cross. Man, there's so much to preach on here. There's actually almost too much to kind of wrap our brains around. But that smell of death, that Jesus died for you and for me, the smell of sacrifice for your and my sin, the smell of sin, that Jesus is bringing all the sins of the world, the stench of sin that's sitting upon him, and he's paying the price. He's dying for you and for me, suffering hell, suffering the smell of hell, whatever that is, the sulfuric, acidic smell of hell. He's suffering there. That I'll bet you none of the people could have necessarily smelled, but as the smell of in the spiritual, what's going on, and the sacrifice of the Son, and God smelling that and being pleased with that, so that he would look past what we smell like. He'd be able to have our sins be forgiven. You know, I was thinking about somebody in the Old Testament who would go up and they'd put a lamb or something on the altar and they'd burn this thing. They'd kill it and burn it, right? And I was thinking, that would probably have actually smelled bad. But as the priest is saying, your sins are forgiven, buddy. Oh, man. You'd begin to associate that smell with, smells good. You'd start to make connections like, see, what I'm trying to get to here is this text where it's saying to us, there's some that smell it and they smell death and it smells bad, but then there's for others it smells good. That's how Jesus is. That's how Jesus is. I mean, it's broke down in another way when he writes to the Corinthians the first time, the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. He says, for the cross, the smell or the object or the what Jesus did on the cross for us, to some is foolishness. But to others, it's the power of God. See, ultimately, that's what it comes down to. Ultimately, it's like, why are we here? If Jesus really didn't die on a cross for us to pay the price for our sin, if Jesus didn't rise again from the dead, if Jesus didn't come to save us, his mercy finds me. If Jesus doesn't bring us himself and hold to his promise that he's present with us this morning, then honestly, you being here is foolish. Why are you here? I mean, seriously, think about that. Why do we do this? Where else? You just here to get some good tips on your life? You here to just kind of be a good person? I want to be a good citizen. It's amazing how quickly we can turn those things into that. And that's why with this text, there's going to be some who smell it. Just like in that triumphal procession, as the priests are waving their little things, if you're up front and you're one of the captives, that's going to smell very different than if you're in the back and you're one of the victors, right? It's going to be a different smell. What does Jesus smell like? What does it smell like? I'd asked Carl, I was like, try to find a scent that doesn't just smell. I was going to have us bake cookies, and so it just smelled like cookies this morning. I know, sorry. But I was like, no, I actually want it to smell, like, to some people, not good. I wanted it to smell a little weird. Like, you kind of go both ways on it. See, the smell of Jesus is one where it's like, for those who believe, it's the power of God. It's where salvation is found, in Jesus. To those who don't, It's really foolishness. It's foolishness. That's not where I want my God, my Savior, is up on a cross, naked, dying. That's where salvation is found, right there. And I guess the question is really, is that smell on you? Do you reek of Jesus? Do you smell of him? Do you smell of Jesus? When people are around you, what do they smell? Okay, I get it. You got to get past a little bit of the B.O. What are they smelling when they're around you? There's three things I wanted to quick just kind of highlight here. And they all start with an S: suffering, sincerity, and spoken. What does it look like to spread the smell? One of the first pieces there is suffering, through suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 says this: "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed." This is just two chapters later from our text. "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." That's why the connection of baptism with Everett is so huge, where he's baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus to put on Christ, to put on Jesus. And that smell, and this is what's really interesting here. The Apostle Paul is making it very clear. The smell might be connected to suffering. It's actually really fascinating looking at commentaries on that whole triumphal procession. Where does Paul see himself? Does he see himself as a captor, or does he see himself in the back as a victor? And the church actually, it was fascinating to me, and I still don't know exactly where I land on it, but the church has kind of debated how Paul and where Paul saw himself over the past centuries. Because one of the struggles that the Corinthians were having with the Apostle Paul is that the Apostle Paul's life looked so bad. And Paul was dropping the hammer. If you ever go read 1 Corinthians, he drops the hammer on the church of Corinth. I mean, he drops the hammer on this church and says, "What's up?" And the idea is that some of the church of Corinth started saying things like, "Who gave you this kind of authority? Why can you say these things to us? Why do you think you're such a big tough shot?" And then they start looking at his life, and the guy's whipped, and he's beaten, and he's tortured, and he's shipwrecked, and he's naked, and he's got a really rough life. And they're like, "Yeah, man, look at you. You have the authority to speak." And he's like, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. As I go through weakness, his grace is sufficient for me. See, what you don't understand is that actually I'm going to ground myself in taking up my cross. I'm going to ground myself in the cross of Jesus. I'm going to actually ground myself in who he is and what he has done for me. And whether I go through suffering, or whether I go through hardships, or whether I go through trials, or whether maybe life is fine and it's all good and I got a new job and life is okay, doesn't matter. It's going to be grounded in Jesus. And it's actually through suffering that sometimes the smell is the strongest. That's huge. That's huge. I'm going to be driven to despair. I'm going to be persecuted, but not driven to despair. I'm going to be persecuted, but not forsaken. I'm going to be, yeah, my life looks pretty junky right now, Paul is saying. And that's why you should be listening to me. So through suffering, I guess the question in that would be something like, do people smell Jesus when you suffer? Or do they only hear you complain? Do people smell Jesus when you suffer? When you're going through hardship and trials? I know people who smell like Jesus, and they've gone through some of the worst things. And when I'm around them, I'm just like, holy smokes, you just reek of Jesus. You, oh my gosh. Wow. What does that look like? The second thing, sincerity, chapter 2, verse 17 here. For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Being sincere, I think, is... do you believe this stuff or not? That's the big question I have always. And I ask myself that, like, do I really believe this stuff or not? Are we sincere with it? Are we playing games? Or do you need to go back out? Do you need to back up to come back through the narrow gate? Say, you've been coming in through the really wide gate, but you need to come back maybe around and go through the narrow gate, the gate of Jesus. Or if you'd made Christianity about morality and doing the right thing and being the right person and doing all the right stuff. Or is it about receiving from Him what He's done for you? Allowing His scent to come upon you, to cover you. I don't mean that. I'm always cautious when I talk about like sincerity. I'm always cautious about a sensitive heart. I'm always cautious about someone who would, oh gosh, maybe I'm not saved. Just calmly look again to Jesus, if that's you this morning. I'm not trying to freak anybody out, unless you need to be freaked out about it. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? And then to speak it. The Apostle Paul here is saying, we speak it. We speak this out. We speak this smell. We speak this smell to people. We are the aroma of Christ to God. And I don't know. I want us to be the smelliest church this next week. I want us to just smell. I want us to just smell. And as you go out into the world, I want you to realize that there will be those who smell you, and it'll be really sweet. But that same exact smell will be repulsive to someone else. You got to understand that. So it doesn't mean that you smell like chocolate chip cookies to everybody and every... No, our lives... the smell of Jesus is one where people smell it, and it smells like death, and they smell it, and it smells like life. You'd probably argue best that Paul is trying to put himself in the front as a captive. That's weird. You got to kind of theology. You got to, but he sees himself as being captured by Jesus, who leads him to a death of himself, where he puts on Christ, where Galatians 2:20, where Paul would say something like, I don't even live anymore. Christ lives in me. And you just, that's all you smell of is Jesus. You just reek of it. I don't know exactly what that means to each of you. I hope you're able to see past some of the, you know, allegory and just all the thinking there, but do we really believe this stuff? Do we? I just kind of challenge you with that. I just ask you that. Are we sincere about it? What does that mean? What does that look like? Do we believe this stuff, or is this actually foolishness? Next week, when only two of you are back, I'll know. No, I'm just kidding. Let me pray for us. Lord, we need to really move to a time of prayer because ultimately we need you. Whether it be a heart this morning that hears this and is convicted and is brought to the knowledge and awareness of their sin and their brokenness. And I really think that that could be each and every one of us in this place today. It's reminding us of the sin in our lives and the stench of that sin and how you cover that. You forgive us. Thank you for that forgiveness that we can receive from you. Lord, I do pray for protection over that heart that's sometimes oversensitive to some of these things. That person in the room who gets always so nervous around a conversation like this. And I pray that they would calmly just look again to you and remind ourselves, Lord, that it's not about who we say we are, but it's about who you say we are. Lord Jesus, we love you. We trust in you. We have doubts. We have struggles. Right now, some of us in this room are going through some really hard times. And it almost feels like maybe you've abandoned us. It feels like, where are you, Lord? I think, God, that's where sometimes you're working some of your biggest stuff. And Lord Jesus, as we look at what you did for us on the cross, looks like this incredible weak spot, but it's the place where the power of God is being worked to save the world. God, I think it's just all so backwards. It feels sometimes so backwards, but it's how you work. It's how you do your thing. And so I just pray that you'd comfort the heart this morning that needs comforted. I pray that you would push on and challenge and maybe rebuke the heart that needs that. Grow each of us, Lord. Meet us right where we are. Holy Spirit, fall afresh upon us. Have your mercy find us, Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me leave you with a blessing. And this is a blessing that God gave to Moses. And I want to highlight that oftentimes a pastor might use the word may. May our God bless you and keep you. And I just point out that in Scripture, that's not the verb that's used. The word may is not used. It is the Lord bless you and keep you. It's not may. The response is that he will. So I just want you to receive that this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Shine his light, his face reflect on you, and give you his peace. Amen. Have a great week, y'all. See you next week. Bye. Booyah, buddy.